Romans is a profoundly theological book. There's many deep doctrinal truths here, but it isn't just a book for scholars. It's a book for everyday believers. And it doesn't just tell you what to think or what to believe. It tells you what to do and how to live and how to treat others and how to make the most of your life. And in this evening's chapter, we'll see how we might be able to start living this dynamic, God-centered life that was designed for us. The Apostle Paul tells us in verse 16, how to do it. He says that faith is the key. A non-Christian once said that one of the biggest beef that they had with the Christian faith was this doctrine of judgment. And all this final judgment, this fiery lake. But they said, but that wasn't the one that bothered them the most. And so you might be thinking, well, what would be the one that would be bothering them the most then? How about what we teach about tithing? We talked about that a little bit last week during our class period, and hope to do it again here this evening and continue a little bit. How about, but they said that wasn't it, you know. What about the part where you love your enemies? They said, well, no, that wasn't it either. How about this idea of justification by faith? Well, that's the one that bothered them because they said that's just unfair. That God's requirement for us is that we believe in Him then rather than try to be good. You know, the trouble is we just can't be good. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We looked at that verse last week. But he said if God exists, he could set some standard, something reasonable, something that we all could do. Why is it that he demands perfection? Well, that's a good point. And that's exactly what God did. When you try to be good, you learn quickly how difficult it is. But how absolutely impossible it is. We are fallen, sinful creatures. We cannot earn or deserve the favor of God. So as we saw last week, God did something about that. We said He changed the rules in the middle of the game, so to speak, to let us off the hook. And that's not really true. That's only the way that it appears to us. God never got caught by surprise and had to adapt something and do something. But when we read through the book, sometimes we get that impression that God changed the rules in the middle of the game. And if you want God in your life, you don't get there by being good. You get there by putting your faith in Him. So why does God require faith instead of just giving us a list of do's and don'ts to live by? Because deeds don't require a heartfelt connection. You know, faith is relationship-based. When you live in faith, God becomes the center of your life. You get to know Him. You get to love Him. You become like Him. And that's God's plan for you. He doesn't just want you to perform some good works every now and then. He wants you to be deeply, intimately with Him every day. He wants this relationship to develop between you and Him. It's not a matter of a performance type situation. In Romans, the 4th chapter, Paul talks about the life of faith, and he uses Abraham as an example, because Abraham's story is one that his readers, of course, would be familiar with. Jewish people consider Abraham their father because it was to Abraham that God said, of course, that I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to make you into a mighty nation. Genesis 17 and verse 2. Then it was through him this covenant of circumcision was introduced. And for the Jewish people, circumcision symbolized all that is contained then in this Old Testament law. Similar to that, but not exactly. The way that we think about baptism and its symbolization there about a commitment to live the Christian life. But there's this general thinking then was that Abraham was made righteous by embracing then this covenant of the Old Testament law, which included this rite of circumcision. Well, Paul points out here that it's not the case at all. Genesis tells us that Abraham didn't become righteous because of circumcision. He became righteous because of his faith. And in verse 3 then, he quotes Genesis where he says, "It is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not based on obedience to God's law, but on the new relationship with God that comes by faith." And so he indicates to us then, this is how Abraham was justified. That faith changed the course of Abraham's life. It caused him to change his priorities. It caused him to change his expectations. It made him into a man of vision. It made him into a man of destiny. And it caused him to act then accordingly. Now let's talk about you. You know the life that you want for yourself. It's a life of meaning. It's fulfillment. It's purpose. It's satisfaction. The fact that you're here this evening indicates that you recognize a spiritual need, that there's something more to your life than a house and a car and a job. You know, it is in God that you experience that something more, and you receive it then through faith. And that's why Paul says that faith is the key. If you want God in your life, you don't get there by following religious ritual. You get there by putting your faith in Him. And this not only applies to salvation, it also applies to every part of the Christian life. You receive salvation, which is forgiveness for your sins, a new nature, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the promise of eternal life, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord. And you grow in the Christian life. You experience victory over sin. And God's blessings are poured out on you when you walk in faith day by day. And this evening we'll talk about how to live a life of faith, because faith is a key that unlocks the promises of God in your life. It's where the Christian life begins, and it's also where it ends. So let's look at three characteristics of the type of faith to aim for if you want to unlock God's promises in your life. First of all, aim for faith that expects the impossible. Aim for faith that expects the impossible. God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. That was an outrageous promise when you consider that Abraham was an old man in his 80s, and Sarah was also elderly, long past childbearing age, and she had been unable to have children throughout their entire marriage. There are no sons through whom Abraham could pass on his bloodline. He had no hope of heirs to make a great nation. He didn't even have a family. You know, so what would he do? Verse 17 here of Romans 5 says, "When God told him, 'I have made you the father of many nations,' this happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, and it brings into existence what didn't exist before." Abraham knew what God was saying was impossible, but he believed Him anyway. And so what happened? God came through for him. And Abraham and Isaac gave birth to a son named Isaac. Isaac gave birth to two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob fathered 12 sons. And on these men were founded the 12 tribes of Israel, whose descendants are still among us today. Abraham became the father of a great nation. It happened because he dared to believe in the impossible. I know sometimes we get to thinking that's impossible that God could ever do anything in our lives. You may think, you know, I've done too many wrong things. I've committed too many sins. I've made too many mistakes. I've hurt too many people. There's no chance for me. It's impossible for God to use me. But we believe in a God for whom nothing is impossible. There's no amount of sin in your life that can prevent Jesus Christ coming into your heart and forgiving you of your sins. There is nothing that is impossible with God. You know, you might be facing some impossible situations. Maybe there's some relationships that are not going right. Maybe there's anger and mistrust and betrayal that's going on. And you think that those relationships are forever broken. But with God, nothing is impossible. He can unlock the promises in your life by the gift of faith. Some of you might be facing some financial mess. You may see no way out. It's like Bruce Springsteen. You say, I got debts that no honest man could pay. Dare to expect the impossible. God can come into your situation, and I've seen it happen in my own life, and reveal resources that you never knew that was available to you. He can show you how to cut expenses that you never knew could be cut. He can give you favor with your creditors. He can open up streams of revenue. He can turn around any financial crisis. Just like it was for Abraham, the prerequisite for receiving the promises of God is stepping out in faith. The kind of faith that expects the impossible to take place. So dare to believe in the impossible. Now the second thing is, aim for faith that stays on target. Listen to this in verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. Now let me tell you something about that verse. That verse will absolutely set you free. If this verse wasn't in the Bible, if this verse wasn't given to us by Paul that says Abraham never wavered in his faith, I would be inclined to say that Abraham did, in fact, waver in his faith. Why? Because he made some pretty big mistakes. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, an impossible promise, but Abraham dared to believe it. And then afterward, he and his Sarah got to thinking about it and then decided that while it might be possible for Abraham to conceive a son at his age, it was not possible for Sarah to do so. So they came up with a plan. One that was contextually appropriate for the generation in which they lived. And this was their plan. Since Sarah wasn't able to conceive, Abraham would then sleep with Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, and then his bloodline would continue on through her. Somehow, she was able to convince Abraham to do this, to have this relationship with Hagar. Abraham took Hagar as his second wife, and together he conceived a son named Ishmael. And then disaster ensued. There was jealousy and bitterness and rivalry, and eventually Hagar ran away. And as I said earlier, Abraham and Sarah eventually gave birth to a son of their own, which was Isaac. And through Isaac was formed the Jewish race. Through Ishmael, Hagar's son, was formed a portion of the Arab race. And the descendants of those two brothers have been in conflict ever since. Now, if someone asked me about Abraham's actions here, my inclination would be to say that he wavered in his faith. God told Abraham that he and his wife Sarah would have a son, and their effort to make this happen, they came up then with plan B. God had intended to bless Abraham and Sarah through plan A. Abraham made a mistake. Now here's what I want you to realize. Unwavering faith doesn't mean that you never make a mistake. That you never get off course. That you never get sidetracked. Unwavering faith means that even when you slip, you get back up trusting God. Unwavering faith means that you keep going back to plan A. Some of you want to trust God to do great things in your life, but you think that in order for that to happen, you've got to be perfect. You got to do everything exactly right. Well, it will never happen that way. You will make mistakes. You will get sidetracked from time to time. You'll employ a strategy that doesn't work. You'll slip and fall. Unwavering faith doesn't mean perfect execution. It means relentless focus on the goodness of God. If you want unwavering faith, you don't give up on God even when you want to give up on yourself. If you want to unlock the promises of God in your life, then don't put your faith and your trust in yourself. Put your faith in Him. And keep going back to Him again and again and again. And you say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Now that's unwavering faith. Now next, aim for faith that gets bigger and better. Paul said this, verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Now that's the kind of faith that unlocks God's promises in your life. It's the kind of faith that grows step by step. You know, a man once said it's impossible to trust God to heal cancer when you can't trust Him to heal a headache. It's hard to trust God for the big things when you're not really willing and able to trust Him for the little things. God wants to be involved in every detail of your life. I've heard people criticize those who pray for parking spaces as if a parking space is a too trivial matter to bring before God. I want you to understand this. Nothing is trivial as far as God is concerned. It's good to pray about these little things because when you pray about these little things, you see God provide in the little things. And the more you see Him provide, the more you're convinced and you become to the realization that He can provide then for the big things. Because I've based it on what He has already done for me. And that's what happened to Abraham. Paul said this. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything He promised. That doesn't come to you out of nowhere. You grow into it. I'm believing God for some big things in my life right now. There are things I don't want Him to do in this ministry. They are so far beyond my reach that I know without Him they'll never be done. Though my faith is nowhere near Abraham's, not yet anyway, but I'm working on it, I can trust God for these big things because over the years I've seen Him provide the little things again and again and again. With every answered prayer, my faith grows. With every miracle, my faith becomes stronger. With every blessing, I become more convinced that God can do anything He promises. Aim for faith that gets bigger and better. That's the kind of faith that God wants you to have. Why? Look at verse 20. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. That's what brings glory to God, not our feeble attempts at some religious ritual, but expectant, unwavering, expanding faith. That's what He wants from you. Aim for faith that gets bigger and better. Notice how Paul concludes this passage in verse 23. He says, now this wonderful truth that God declared him to be righteous wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was for us too, assuring us that God will also declare us to be righteous if we believe in God who brought Jesus Christ, our Lord, back from the dead. The Christian life begins exactly where it ends. It's a life of faith. That's what God wants from us. Faith is the key to unlocking the promises of God in your life. Through faith we're saved. Through faith we grow. Through faith we receive eternal life. Through faith we experience the abundant life. It's the key to everything God has for you. So make it your objective to live a life of faith. Aim for faith that expects the impossible. Aim for faith that stays on target. Aim for faith that gets bigger and better. And see what God can do in your life for His glory.